Today is the 14th day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today, right here in our own little place, right here around the global campfire together, as we gather again and just let's just do it. Let's take a deep breath and let it go. Let it all go for a little while. This is a safe place. We're going to read the scriptures and simply let them come into our lives together. And so our next step forward leads us to where we left off, obviously, and that happens to be the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. And then when we get to the New Testament, we have some new territory. We finished 2 Corinthians yesterday, and so we'll move into, well, it'll be another one of Paul's letters. But we'll talk about that when we get there. For now, Isaiah chapters 15 through 18. A prophecy against Moab. Ar in Moab is ruined, destroyed in a night. Kir in Moab is ruined, destroyed in a night. Dibon goes up to its temple, to its high places to weep. Moab wails over Nebo and Medeba. Every head is shaved and every beard cut off. In the streets they wear sackcloth. On the roofs and in the public squares they all wail, prostrate with weeping. Heshbon and Elealeh cry out. Their voices are heard all the way to Jahaz. Therefore the armed men of Moab cry out, and their hearts are faint. My heart cries out over Moab. Her fugitives flee as far as Zoar, as far as Iglat Shelishah. They go up the hill to Luith, weeping as they go. On the road to Horonaim, they lament their destruction. The waters of Nimrim are dried up, and the grass is withered. The vegetation is gone, and nothing green is left. So the wealth they have acquired and stored up, they carry away over the ravine of the poplars. Their outcry echoes along the border of Moab. Their wailing reaches as far as Eglaim. Their lamentation as far as Beer Elim. The waters of Dimon are full of blood. But I will bring still more upon Dimon. A lion upon the fugitives of Moab and upon those who remain in the land. Send lambs as tribute to the ruler of the land. From Silla across the desert to the mount of daughter Zion. Like fluttering birds pushed from the nest, so are the women of Moab at the fords of the Arnon. Make up your mind, Moab says. Render a decision. Make your shadow like night's at high noon. Hide the fugitives. Do not betray the refugees. Let the Moabite fugitives stay with you. Be their shelter from the destroyer. The oppressor will come to an end, and destruction will cease. The aggressor will vanish from the land. In love, a throne will be established. In faithfulness, a man will sit on it, one from the house of David, one who in judging seeks justice and speeds the cause of righteousness. We have heard of Moab's pride. How great is her arrogance, of her conceits, her pride and her insolence. But her boasts are empty. Therefore the Moabites wail. They wail together for Moab. Lament and grieve for the raisin cakes of Kir Hareseth. The fields of Heshbon wither. The vines of Sibmah also. The rulers of the nations have trampled down the choicest vines, which once reached Jazer and spread toward the desert. Their shoots spread out and went as far as the sea. So I weep as Jazer weeps for the vines of Sibmah. Heshbon and Elealeh, I drench you with tears. The shouts of joy over your ripened fruit and over your harvest have been stilled. Joy and gladness are taken away from the orchards. No one sings or shouts in the vineyards. No one treads out wine at the presses, for I have put an end to the shouting. My heart laments for Moab like a harp, my inmost being for Kir-Hareseth. When Moab appears at her high place, she only wears herself out. When she goes to her shrine to pray, it is to no avail. This is the word the Lord has already spoken concerning Moab. But now the Lord says, within 3 years, as a servant bound by contract would count them, Moab's splendor and all her many people will be despised, and her survivors will be very few and feeble. A prophecy against Damascus. See, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins. The cities of Arior will be deserted and left to flocks, which will lie down with no one to make them afraid. The fortified city will disappear from Ephraim and royal power from Damascus. The remnant of Aram will be like the glory of the Israelites, declares the Lord Almighty. In that day, the glory of Jacob will fade. The fat of his body will waste away. It will be as when reapers harvest the standing grain, gathering the grain in their arms, as when someone gleans heads of grain in the valley of Rephaim. Yet some gleanings will remain, as when an olive tree is beaten, leaving two or three olives on the topmost branches, four or five on the fruitful boughs, declares the Lord, the God of Israel. In that day, people will look to their Maker and turn their eyes to the Holy One of Israel. They will not look to the altars, the work of their hands, and they will have no regard for the Asherah poles and the incense altars their fingers have made. In that day, their strong cities, which they left because of the Israelites, will be like places abandoned to thickets and undergrowth, and all will be desolation. You have forgotten God your Savior. You have not remembered the rock, your fortress. Therefore, though you set out the finest plants and plant imported vines, though on the day you set them out you make them grow, and on the morning when you plant them you bring them to bud, yet the harvest will be as nothing in the day of disease and incurable pain. Woe to the many nations that rage. They rage like the raging sea. Woe to the peoples who roar. They roar like the roaring of great waters. Although the peoples roar like the roar of surging waters, when he rebukes them, they flee far away, driven before the wind like chaff on the hills, like tumbleweed before a gale. In the evening, sudden terror. Before the morning, they are gone. This is the portion of those who loot us, the lot of those who plunder us. Woe to the land of whirring wings along the rivers of Cush, which sends envoys by sea in papyrus boats over the water. Go, swift messengers, to a people tall and smooth-skinned, to a people feared far and wide, an aggressive nation of strange speech whose land is divided by rivers. All you people of the world, you who live on the earth, when a banner is raised on the mountains, you will see it, and when a trumpet sounds, you will hear it. This is what the Lord says to me. I will remain quiet and will look on from my dwelling place, like shimmering heat in the sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For before the harvest, when the blossom is gone and the flower becomes a ripening grape, he will cut off the shoots with pruning knives and cut down and take away the spreading branches. They will all be left to the mountain birds of prey and to the wild animals. The birds will feed on them all summer, the wild animals all winter. At that time, gifts will be brought to the Lord Almighty, from a people tall and smooth-skinned, from a people feared far and wide, an aggressive nation of strange speech whose land is divided by rivers. The gifts will be brought to Mount Zion, the place of the name of the Lord Almighty. Okay, so here we are at the threshold of another one of Paul's letters, and this is a pretty important letter. Very, very highly revered letter known as Galatians, and it's highly respected because of its theological content. So in the time of Paul, when he was planting churches, Galatia wasn't a city, it was a province of the Roman Empire. This is an area that's now part of modern-day Turkey. In previous eras from Paul, like before Paul, the Galatians were known as Gauls or Celts. And so into this region, we know of five different churches that were established during Paul's first missionary journey. And so these are the churches in Pisidia, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And Paul addresses this letter to the churches in Galatia. So we assume then that this was a letter written to all of those churches, and they were to pass them around as Paul's means of communicating with these communities. And it won't take us long to notice why it's an important document in New Testament theology, but we should also notice that what Paul's dealing with in Galatia is similar to what Paul is dealing with in the letter that we just finished, 2 Corinthians, because the issues were in Galatia as well. People had visited these churches that Paul had planted. They had come in behind Paul, and they taught what Paul considered to be another gospel. And to be more specific, the Galatians were being told that in order to follow Jesus, they need to essentially convert to Judaism. They have to obey the customs of the Jews and the practices in order to follow Jesus, including circumcision and adherence to the Mosaic law, which is something that Paul stood in opposition to, because in Paul's view, a new covenant had been initiated by Jesus' work on the cross and his resurrection and ascension to the Father. And so we will see Paul addressing this issue passionately. Now, this idea of including Gentiles, that the message of Jesus, the gospel, is open to anyone who believes, including people who were not Jews, Gentiles, this is a pretty significant controversy in the early church. And we read of this controversy in the book of Acts. And we read of the first church council, what we know as the Jerusalem Council, making determinations about this. So what we can see is that not everybody was on board. People were still moving around and visiting the churches of Jesus and telling them that they needed to be Jewish. And we're not clear with this letter to the Galatians if it was written before this Jerusalem council that we're talking about in the book of Acts, or after that. Some hold to the view that Paul wrote this letter before that Jerusalem council ever happened. And if that is the case, then visitors to the Galatian churches, then these visitors were undermining Paul's message, attempting to kind of align the teachings of Paul with Judaism before the church had wrestled with it, and Paul's not happy about it. That would make Galatians a really, really early document in Christian history. If Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians after the Jerusalem Council, then Paul's using this letter to passionately clarify what the council had decided, that non-Jewish believers, that Gentiles were in fact welcomed into the family of God, and they did not need to convert to Judaism in order to be saved. And I guess, just logically, if that's the case, then it seems like he might have referred to the Jerusalem Council in this letter in some way, but that's why there's all this debate. Nevertheless, this argument that's being laid out in Galatians was a really big deal. Who gets to be in? It's kind of still a big debate, big deal today. It's a big issue in the early church. Judaism was an exclusive religion for the Jews, for the people of God. And allowing faith in Jesus as a Jewish rabbi Like, without the cover of the Mosaic Law in Judaism, that did open up salvation through Jesus to anyone who believed in the entire world. And once that decision was made, it had a huge impact on the early church because it made a distinction, a clear distinction between, well, what came to be known as Christianity from Judaism, which ultimately left Christian people kind of hanging. They had had the cover of Judaism in the Roman Empire. But once this distinction to allow Gentile people to worship God, then they were not under the cover of Judaism anymore, which left them out very, very available for persecution, which they very much endured in the early days. And as we read through Galatians, we will see some of the theology that Paul is laying down, things that are foundational to our understanding, like the gospel of freedom and of grace and of justification through faith. We'll find that outlined in this letter. And so let's move in that direction. Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, "The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy." And they praised God because of me. Psalm 58, for the director of music, to the tune of "Do Not Destroy," of David, a miktam. Do you rulers indeed speak justly? Do you judge people with equity? No. In your heart, you devise injustice, and your hands mete out violence on the earth. Even from birth, the wicked go astray. From the womb, they are wayward, spreading lies. Their venom is like the venom of a snake, like that of a cobra that has stopped its ears, that will not heed the tune of the charmer, however skillful the enchanter may be. Break the teeth in their mouths, O God. Lord, tear out the fangs of those lions. Let them vanish like water that flows away. When they draw the bow, let their arrows fall short. May they be like a slug that melts away as it moves along, like a stillborn child that never sees the sun. Before your pots can feel the heat of the thorns, whether they be green or dry, the wicked will be swept away. The righteous will be glad when they are avenged, when they dip their feet in the blood of the wicked. Then people will say, surely the righteous still are rewarded. Surely there is a God who judges the earth. Proverbs 23:12. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for another day here around the global campfire. We thank you for each other. We thank you that we get to do this together, regardless of where we are on this planet. Thank you for that. Thank you for this gift. Thank you for your word and this new territory that we are moving into in the letter to the Galatians. Come, Holy Spirit, we open ourselves to you. We open our eyes. We open our ears. We open our hearts. But revelation and insight into our own lives and our own stories comes from you. And so we open ourselves to you as we continue this journey and ask you to plant it deep into the soil of our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hello, this is Pure Joy from Lagos. I want to pray for Lisa. Father, I thank you because you have all power. I thank you because you are the great and mighty God. I thank you because from the beginning to the end, you are God and you are God all by yourself. Lord, I lift up your daughter Lisa into your hands and I ask that by your mighty power, you heal and deliver her from cancer in the name of Jesus. I speak to your body, Lisa, and decree that from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, you receive your healing and it is permanent in the name of Jesus. I decree you healed in the name of Jesus. There is nothing that the power of God cannot do. This same power rose Lazarus from the dead. This same power has delivered many sick and brought back to life many dead. And I know that cancer is no greater than the power of God. And I decree the power of God to flow through your body now in the name of Jesus. I call you healed in the name of Jesus. And I pray that your healing will be a sign and a wonder to your family. And without any other intervention, they will surrender their souls and their lives to Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you because nothing is beyond you. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And nothing can shrink your power. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Good morning. This is Ms. Van from Virginia. I haven't been with this community long. I just started in January, but have been extremely blessed by the prayers, by the love that is shown in this community. And I'm standing with hopeful on September the 11th for Lisa, standing in the gap for you, and that you will find the peace of the Lord in this season of your life. And I want to encourage you concerning the things that has been said about you not doing enough for your family members. to remember that only the Spirit of the living God can convict. It is He that convicts. We cannot convict anyone to turn to Him, but only He can bring increase to the seeds that has been sowed, the seeds that have been planted, the seeds that have been watered. Only God can bring increase to it. So I pray that you will receive this peace, peace in knowing that your family is covered, peace in knowing that you have a community of believers that are standing with you and others who are going through the very same suffering throughout the world, that we are standing with you. We are covering you in prayer, and I pray that you are strengthening your body and that you know that your light is shining so brightly in this season that it is penetrating even the hardest of hearts. I love you, and may God continue to keep you and bless you in Jesus' name.
Lisa from the East Coast. Today is September 11th, and one of our divers had suggested that today, as a community, we would choose to fast on your behalf. And so it's dark outside, it's quiet in the house, it's very early, and I will begin to fast for you today. Because we believe in a God that can heal. He can heal however He would like to heal. And that is the first prayer we have for you. Not because of the outcome, but because of the hope we have in our God. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for Lisa from the East Coast. We thank you for her life and the years that she has called in, and the countless things that we have prayed for her way before this illness was in her body. So Lord, we ask for healing first and foremost. We ask that whatever chemo would be the miracle that the doctors could use for those that are coming to follow her. Lord, we ask that you would give her a heart that is so full of peace, like the Philippians 4:6 she stands for. We thank you, Lord, that you are with her wherever she goes, that you are stronger in her than anything else. And Lord, that you surround her with a hedge of protection, that no one, no principality, no anything can go through, because it's you on the inside. So Lord, thank you for Lisa from the East Coast. We ask that you would strengthen her in all ways, beyond the ways we even know how to ask. But this community is fasting for her today, and that you would honor and hear our prayers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. This is Romans 12:2. This message is for Lisa. Lisa, whenever you call, first I'd like to say that my heart always skips a beat and leaps when I hear your voice, because I'm always anxiously waiting to hear an update from you. I wanted to say that today we did Psalm 55. Today is September 11th. And myself, along with God's Chosen, she also is fasting. And I believe many others are fasting and praying for you today. So be encouraged. In Psalm 55, it says, "My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearlessness and trembling have come upon me, and the horrors have overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I have wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storms and tempests." But in verse 22, it says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." That is my word for you today. I only have 2 minutes. I have a lot more to say. But I wanted to encourage you today, Lisa. It's a rough battle you're in. We're standing with you. The Lord is going to hold you up with His right hand. We are fasting and praying for you today that you would have a breakthrough, that you will be able to accomplish the things on your bucket list, that God will give you grace and especially mercy, that He will keep you and extend your time, and in fact, He will heal you completely. That is our desire. We are asking that of the Lord. We don't know what His plan is. All we can do is petition, ask, travail, and wait for His answer. be encouraged, my friend. We love you.